Coors Light presents To Chill or Not to Chill. When your friend bets against your team, end the friendship. Or choose chill because you're drinking Coors Light with your buddy. Coors Light, choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2024 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Build Up with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. We are getting ready for the San Jose Sharks to take on the Pittsburgh Penguins. This is going to be the fourth of a four-game East Coast road trip before San Jose comes home, only very briefly, however. For one game, they are going to be hosting Detroit on Monday night, and then the Sharks are out on the road for two. They are going to be at Dallas, then at St. Louis. Then they are home for four, hosting Buffalo, the Kings, Ottawa, and then Seattle before they go to Seattle in a two-game back-to-back. But to get us all caught up on everything that's going on with the Pens, we are now joined by the radio play-by-play voice of the Pens. It is Joe Brand. Joe, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Ted, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure. Doing okay. We just got back from Columbus and looking ready to start a five-game homestand and hopefully getting some things rolling here at PPG Paints Arena. But we'll see. The Penguins have to shore up a handful of things, so we'll see how they can do in the first effort against the Sharks here tonight.
So just before we get into the broader aspects of the team, after the loss to the Blue Jackets, the mindset out here is people are thinking that, yes, the Pens are going to be a little bit ticked off and looking to take revenge against a Sharks team that is in the midst of a rebuild. Is that an accurate assessment of where the team is?
I would think so, because even with the struggles that the team have, a lot of leadership they rely on in Crosby and Malkin and Letang, even though Chris Letang was out in the last game with an illness, and even Erik Karlsson, that Sharks fans know very well, that, you know, they take a lot of pride in their game. So even if they're going to be struggling, the team and the leadership core knows what they need to do to get things going the right way. It's just definitely been a little bit of a problem getting that going right now. But better on the second half of a back-to-back. So who knows? Maybe with that whole veteran presence, getting one game under their belt can work into their favor tonight against the Sharks.
If you look at where the team is now versus where maybe the outlook was at the start of the season, how do you think things have gone? Because it felt like people were expecting a little bit more of a bounce back from the early goings. But I also know that, you know, we're barely over a month into the season. We can't always make sense of where a team is after October hockey, notoriously weird. And then, you know, we're still halfway into the month of November.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, that's the hockey culture, right? You want the best out of your team and the best out of players right from the get-go. And a ton of people use that Thanksgiving deadline as a real marking point of where your team stands and their playoff chances. And the unfortunate thing is right now the Penguins are kind of digging themselves into a hole. So it's going to take a couple winning streaks to kind of get them out of that hole, because it's going to be tough to make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. So they definitely need to shore things up sooner rather than later. But I think in terms of what's been going wrong, it's kind of the unpredictableness, if that is a word. Unpredictability, maybe. But, you know, last year, special teams, the Penguins had a ton of problems with the power play. And that really dug themselves into a hole at the beginning. And the power play really hasn't been that much of an issue this year, but it's been other things. It's been just kind of some defensive miscues, especially in front of the net. It seems like they're getting out muscled a lot and putting their goalies in a rough spot. The goalies haven't been perfect, but they have kind of been more so of the more consistent aspect of the team right now. And if it's not one thing, it's another. So it's just, you know, there's unfortunately enough blame to go around right now for the team. But when they have pulled out big victories, it's been because of a full-on team effort. So if you're able to get a couple of those under your belt, maybe some rhythm, maybe some momentum, all of a sudden you're playing with confidence. And I know that's a lot easier said than done, but it's going to be a rough homestand with a lot of tough competition coming in. So the fact that, you know, if they can maybe shore up some things against a Sharks team that, believe me, the Penguins are in no position right now to take any team lightly. They're going to have to bring their A game no matter what. But, you know, hopefully this could be, if they're able to get back in the win column, a launching pad opportunity for them. But it is going to take a lot for this team right now.
When I look at stats, you know, I see that Crosby and Malkin are doing their thing. They're, you know, averaging around a point a game up to this point. And, you know, that's, you know, relatively expected. It's an incredible standard, but, you know, they could each be, you know, they could go even higher than a point per game anytime now, and no one's going to be shocked. But so what's the drop off after there? Like after talking about the two star of stars, what's the deficiency then that's keeping everyone from maybe performing at the same level that we see from those guys? Even though I know that that's not hyperbolic, but it's not like everybody's going to be like Crosby and Malkin. We all know that at this point.
True. And I mean, Malkin and Crosby are still at the top of, in terms of point producers at the moment. But Crosby has kind of had a streaky season, if you will. I mean, he had 5 goals in 3 games, and then the entire offense went a little bit cold. Now he's on a little bit of a point streak once again. But again, it's kind of just the situation right now where there's enough blame to go around. You get spurts of guys. Drew O'Connor got a great start to the season, got a little cold, picked up his first point in 13 games last night. Michael Bunting, a bit of an up and down year. He was a healthy scratch this season, came back from that and brought a little bit more grit to his game and provided what the Penguins need from him. Brian Rust has probably been one of the more consistent players on the team, but he's been hurt a few times. And that's unfortunately kind of a consistent thing for Brian Rust, but that's because of the consistent hard grit, hardworking effort he brings each and every game. I mean, it's kind of a catch 22 with him. You know what you're going to get from him, but unfortunately that sometimes brings him his demise because he does play with so much heart and pride and a hardworking effort. So it's just a matter of the depth of this team stepping up and everyone bringing that type of attitude, which has been unfortunately hard to bottle up at the beginning of this season. And they've had really impressive wins too. I remember on Canadian Thanksgiving in Montreal, the Penguins coughed up a 2-goal lead, came back and won. The most impressive win was probably in Washington, denying Alex Ovechkin of finding the back of the net and coughing up another 2-goal lead, but coming back and winning on the road. And you felt like, okay, this is the identity of the team that we've kind of been waiting for. And unfortunately they took a few steps back in the recent homestand and then in the game against Columbus. So it's still hard to figure out where this team is and who they are, because the talent on the roster is, I think a lot of teams would take a lot of the talent right that the Penguins have right now. It's just a difficult time of mustering it all up and putting it in the right direction.
A friend of mine is from Pittsburgh, and so we text a lot, and I hear a lot of his viewpoints on the Pens and the Steelers, maybe more than I should be hearing from a fan. But he always talks about the netminding, and I always push back with that and say that I find netminding statistics to be a very, very small piece of the sliver of information of what actually goes into those numbers, because in San Jose last year, Mackenzie Blackwood's numbers were not at all indicative of the performances I saw him putting in. There was a lot of subpar defense in front of him being put in a bad position, but he insists game after game that he's upset with the netminders. So what is your reaction to the to that contention, I guess?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, the Penguins have been now rolling with 3 goaltenders, and their best one was the 22-year-old rookie from Finland and Joel Blomqvist, who had a stellar year last season in Wilkes-Barre Scranton. And then for the longest time, he was the only goaltender that didn't serve any AHL time this year. Alex Nedeljkovic actually had to start the year down there because of an injury. And then Tristan Jarry was put on a conditioning stint and loaned down there and put up great numbers in the AHL, came back in last night's game against Columbus. And, you know, the same thing. He wasn't perfect, but he really wasn't given that great of an opportunity either with the defensive miscues by the team. But, you know, as a goaltender, you want to come up with those big saves. So, you know, who knows what a big save for any of these guys really could turn things around, turn certain games around. And I mean, you know, hockey, it's such a momentous game. We could be talking about a totally different team, but that's just the problem right now. And I think part of that too is, you know, goaltenders are in a tough spot when the defense is lacking. So that gets into their head a little bit more, and that kind of tenses them up a bit. So it's a tough spot for a goaltender when your defense is, you know, creating chances and putting you under fire a lot more. That puts a lot more pressure, a lot more responsibility on you. So I truly think it's one of those things where if one thing shores up, the next thing can, and then all of a sudden we're talking about a team that's playing some pretty good hockey. But right now there's just a lot of leaks.
What is the mindset in terms of they feeling that they will figure it out? Because I can also point to Edmonton's slow start a year ago, and Edmonton's not off to a very good start this year. They're playing better as of late, and they've won 3 in a row. But They're still only 19 points on the year and in fifth in the Pacific. We look at what's happened in Nashville to start the season. That's the biggest surprise in the NHL, I would argue. I don't think anyone saw the Flyers starting off like this. So, you know, when you look at the Pens only being, you know, I think off the top of my head, 3 or 4 points out of the final wild card spot, is it just a matter of them saying like, okay, let's try and get to that conversation. And then once you get into that wild card slot, let's talk about, you know, progressing up the standings more and more. Is there just the sense of that they feel they do have the tools to figure it out?
I mean, I feel like that's, and believe me, I'm parachuting into Pittsburgh right now. I'm jumping into this very passionate fan base. But they have a good reason to never feel out of it when you've got 87 and 71 on your roster, just because of the pedigree that those two players have, not just in Pittsburgh, but in the National Hockey League as well. But those examples you bring up, Edmonton, Nashville, and going back to last year, it's funny, people have brought it up a lot to us, but think of the winning streaks those teams went on. I mean, those were some monumental winning streaks, 16 straight games for Edmonton. You know, the Predators were able to fix things after not going to the U2 concert.
I went to it. They should have been upset about that. That should have ticked off everyone.
well, apparently it worked out in their favor. So maybe that's what the Penguins need, is to cancel some travel plans or cancel a concert plan. But that's what it's going to take. And my partner, Phil Bork, who's been just so much fun to work with, just everything you want in a broadcast partner, has done the math. And the Penguins basically need to go 16, 17 games above 500 from this point on to start getting back into the playoff conversation. So, of course, in that room, you talk to those players, that's their mindset. That's their goal, one game at a time, I should say. But that is tough. I mean, that would be a very impressive feat if the Penguins were able to do it. So it's a tough spot right now. Again, I'm so fresh here. I'm so new. This team, this fan base, the city is so used to strong competitive hockey and talking about the playoffs all season long. And right now they're in some foreign territory. So it's rough on the players right now, I can tell. So I think it's just a matter of just trying to fix what they can at this moment, because, you know, you're not going to build Rome in a day. You're not going to build a playoff contender, or I should say playoff contention in just one day. It's got to start bit by bit. So I think that's the kind of mindset they're having right now.
You'll get to see this most recent year's number one pick in Macklin Celebrini going up against Sid. I'm just curious for you to watch, you know, the old guard, for lack of a better term, going up against some of these new talents in the NHL, which is being defined by a youth movement. What's your view of seeing these young guys and the skill level they are now possessing at such a young age, which I think is directly a result of watching what Sid and Ovechkin and previously Jumbo and, you know, these other players that, you know, they leveled up the game skill-wise in their generation, and now we're watching it happen again.
Well, I feel like I have one of the most unique vantage points because I'm coming from Chicago.
Right.
I mean, I was covering the Hawks for the last 3 years pretty directly, and we went from selling off Patrick Kane, moving on from Jonathan Toews, to hopefully landing Connor Bedard, and then it happened. And then that youth movement kind of just provided this adrenaline rush in Chicago because Connor Bedard was the next answer. And he came in his rookie year. He did Connor Bedard things. It was really fun to just see how well he fit into the NHL immediately. And the cool thing about it was he always talked about how he idolized Sidney Crosby, and not so much on the ice. I mean, of course, yes, you'll try to be as much of 87 on the ice as you can be, but also off the ice. And, you know, I knew about Sidney Crosby. I knew how great he was. You know, you just think, okay, it's just another great NHL player. But then coming here and seeing what he means to the fan base and this organization and the franchise, especially fresh off another 2-year extension where he takes a healthy hometown discount, you really get to see on a firsthand basis what an amazing type of guy he is, a unicorn, really. And now it all starts to make more sense to me why Connor Bedard idolized him so much and just wants to present himself so much like Sidney Crosby. So it's cool to see it almost in reverse order, like see the young pup and now see the veteran that he was making his game after, molding his game after. And now, you know, Macklin Celebrini comes to town, and I get to see the newest wave of that, which I know
Hawks fans were really hoping they could win the lottery once again. But I think the hockey gods had other plans in mind with San Jose picking up Celebrini. So it's cool. I just think it's a fun time for hockey. I think it's great for the sport. I think it's great for the players. And I think it's just it's a perfect opportunity to see where the game's going because of where it has been.
You obviously, in your time with Chicago, got to hear a lot about the messaging of the rebuild. Does that reverberate or kind of reflect with what you're seeing with San Jose and, you know, the messaging they've been sending out to the NHL and then doing their teardown and now in the process of building it back up? Does it feel like you're kind of on the other side of the looking glass when viewing San Jose?
Yeah, a little bit. And I get it, right? I mean, nobody doesn't want to win a championship, right? That's the end goal of all of this. And as frustrating and as patient you have to be for rebuilds, there's a reason for it. And I think Blackhawks fans saw a glimpse of that when landing the rights to Connor Bedard and then getting to see him in a Blackhawks sweater. So it's just funny because now, you know, people were talking about where the Penguins sit in their lottery chances. And I'm like, man, like we were just talking about all this a couple of years ago in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's been so many things I've been learning. And then all of a sudden people are talking like, well, how many spots can you drop? It's like, well, I know this, like you can only drop, you know, two places in the lottery, you can move up 10, you know, the odds work this way. If this happens, this happens, you know, just because that's what took up most of the content for the Hawks the past couple of years. But again, I mean, I get it. I get why teams do it. I get why organizations want to have their fingerprints on a rebuild, on a remake of a franchise for good intent, especially because it worked out a few years back. So yeah.
What do you view as the thing you're looking for the most in this game against San Jose tonight in terms of the Pens playing the game they want to play?
Well, I mean, it's cliche, but they need to get off to a good start. The games are just so much different when they get off to a good start, even though the Penguins have had some trouble hanging on to two goal leads. But it's just once they get off to a good start, you at least have that confidence that this is going to go in our direction. And I think that starts with the captain, and Sidney Crosby is still two goals away from 600. I think he's ready to get that number past him because we end up talking about it a lot because it is a very monumental feat. It's going to be a big moment, just the 21st player in NHL history to do it. But I'm sure he's looking forward to getting past it just so he can focus on producing no matter what number goal it is, and then just putting his team in a better spot to win. Special teams have to shore up. Power play and penalty kill were looking good at the beginning of the season, and now that's kind of flipped a little bit. Penguins have given up 4 power play goals in their last 3 games. Their power play's been a little dry, I think, one for their last 13. So, you know, if they can win those small battles, maybe they can put themselves in a better spot. But again, I think a lot of eyes are going to be on number 87, especially with the passing of the torch of hockey greatness with Macklin Celebrini being in town. And seeing how Crosby likes to show these young kids how he can still kick it, too.
Oh, yes, he can.
So, yeah, it should be a fun Saturday night here in Pittsburgh.
Awesome, Joe. Well, I know you've got stuff to do and a broadcast to get ready for, so I will let you go. Have a great call tonight, and I'll bug you again soon, all right?
All right, Ted. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you later.
Again, that is Joe Brand, the radio play-by-play voice of the Pittsburgh Penguins, who joined us here on the Sharks Audio Network. Remember, for tonight's game, or this afternoon's game, I should say, nighttime for those back on the East Coast, but it is a 3:30 pregame start time right here on the Sharks Audio Network. Dan Rusinowski and Jason Demers. And then it'll be a 4:00 go time right here on the Sharks Audio Network. And of course, I will be back with you tomorrow morning on Morning Tide to talk out of everything that has come from this road trip and specifically the game. But, you know, the Sharks, they won game one, a 1-0 hold on by the seat of your pants win against New Jersey. They got a shootout point against Philadelphia to take 3 of the first 4 points of the series. They came back in the game against the Rangers, were not able to get it a point, but still a respectable 3-2 loss. Let's see if they can take 2 and walk away with 5 out of 8 points on this road trip. That would be a big step for San Jose. We're out of time. I will see you all tomorrow morning for the San Jose Sharks. I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.
36 seconds left in the penalty on Ferraro. Extra attacker on also for New Jersey, so they have a two-man advantage. 1-0 Sharks. Here comes the shot. Save. Rebound. Where is it? It's stopped by Blackwood. He kept it in front of the goal line. He did the human snowman in the nets by holding out Snow Angel territory and making...